Hey, great show today. Podcasting family, welcome to the program. Dad's here. Bad dad's here, too.
That's me, the bad dad.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care about you.
No, I don't.
But I do.
But I do care if you subscribe to Blaze TV. Do that, because you can support the good dad. BlazeTV.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn. Save $10 off your subscription.
We got a couple of great things for you today. We have the goals, Comedy's goals of 1963, and we go over them and how they have all played out. It's stunning. But the fundamental transformation of America has happened. We kind of go into that and how we're being transformed and the way to fight back. Is there even an incentive anymore to do good in the public sphere? We get into all of that today. Also, Ami Horowitz is here. The intersectionality between the left and the KKK. It's unbelievable what he uncovered with the students of Columbia University. No, it's actually not unbelievable. Of course you'll believe it. It's what's happening. Also, Rob Eno is with us. We talk about Christiane Annapour's hate speech and what's happening in the media, what's happening in the country. You don't want to miss a second of it, all on the Glenn Beck Program.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, let me talk to you a little bit about Home Title Lock. Home Title Lock,
it's incredible how...
Is there anything else, Stu, that...
I know. They're coming after everything.
Everything. And this is something that is a growing crime. Law enforcement received 2,000 complaints of deed fraud. This is just in Manhattan. 2,000 complaints. And what that means is, hey, I went to sell my apartment or my house, and looks like I don't own my house anymore. That's what deed fraud is. You can't sell your house. You don't own your house. Somebody's stolen your house. And if you're really super lucky, they've taken out a huge loan against that house, and now you're stuck with that too. Wait a minute. I didn't hold it. What? So it's called deed fraud, and it's a hassle. Once it happens to you, honestly, the sheriff can come and take you out of your own house, and you have no idea what's going on. Get your $100 search for free when you sign up. Make sure it hasn't already happened to you. Sign up, protect yourself, HomeTitleLock.com, HomeTitleLock.com. Sign up before it happens. Do you remember when Barack Obama said, we're just 5 days away from the fundamental transformation of the United States of America? And we thought to ourselves, what to what? Fundamental transformation? What are you talking about? Do you remember?
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
And I remember talking about who loves something and then says, I want to fundamentally transform it. Who loves their wife or their husband and says, you know what, honey? We're getting married in a few days. We are just a few days away from the fundamental transformation of you. I don't marry that person. What did it mean? Well, Michelle Obama told us long ago. Michelle Obama, she was out on the campaign trail in 07 and 08. And do you remember when she said this?
And Barack knows that we are going to have to make sacrifices. We are going to have to change our conversation. We're going to have to change our traditions, our history. We're going to have to move into a different place.
Okay, can I ask you, when she said that in 2008, she was taken off the campaign trail. They were like, hey, you don't... And we were called conspiracy theorists for saying, what the hell does that mean? What does that mean? Have we changed our conversation? Have we changed our traditions? Have we changed our history? Because I believe we have. 2008, 2009, I was spending time with professors overseas and in South America. And I was having conversations with people who studied revolutions, and I asked them, how do you do it? What do you need? I outlined these things on the chalkboard. Well, we are just about 4 weeks away from exposing something that we were blown away that we found. It is the how-to. It is what we're doing. It's what's happening to us right now. How did they do this? What was the plan? Because the fundamental transformation of America has happened. When we're talking about lock her up, do we have the audio of what's her name saying that that has to be hate speech? Here she is, Christine Amanpour.
Sure, because you just said lock her up, or lock me up. Of course, lock her up was a feature of the 2016 Trump campaign. Do you, in retrospect, wish that people like yourself, the head of the FBI, I mean, the people in charge of law and order, had shut down that language, that it was dangerous potentially, that it could have created violence, that it's kind of hate speech? Should that have been allowed?
That's not a role for government to play. Mm. The beauty of this country is people can say what they want, even if it's misleading. And
thank God, I can't believe I'm saying this. Thank God for James Comey. That's not a role for the government. But listen who that's coming from. The press. What is the press's job? The press is to protect you. You. We have flipped everything in this country. The press now protects them. It now protects the elites, the rulers, the kings, the queens. The press was to protect you. By protecting the Constitution, what did Christiane Amanpour just suggest? That we get rid of the First Amendment. That is the definition of political speech. You know, lock her up. That was a huge part of what? The Trump campaign. The Trump campaign. And she justifies saying, well, it's really kind of hate speech because it could have caused problems. How do you take a country apart? How do you do it? We have to stop talking about Trump's tweets. We have to stop talking about good heavens, for everything that is good and decent and sacred. We should celebrate that our president was not a spy or in cahoots with a foreign government that is traditionally our enemy. Instead, half the country mourned. Oh, I thought he was. You thought he was? Okay, if you really thought he was, then I understand how you felt that he had to go because you thought he was a foreign traitor, that he was in league with a foreign nation. So I understand. But here's the good news. He isn't. Oh, well, he's got to be guilty of something. There's another tradition that's gone. First of all, we're now rooting. We were hoping that our president was a foreign agent. And if he's found not guilty, well, he's guilty of something. That is the antithesis of America. You know, last night I was listening to Ben Shapiro. And Ben was talking about Joe Biden. And I could hear the audience say, Ben, they'd never give this to you. They'd never give this to anybody else. What Ben was saying is the same thing that we're saying, the same thing my friends are saying. Look, I don't know. It's really creepy. And I wouldn't like it. And I don't know. That seems like a warning sign. But that doesn't mean he's doing anything. Where's your evidence? Oh, it's coming from people who have an axe to grind. It's coming from people who don't want Joe Biden to run because they're Bernie people. Now, is that entirely true? I don't know. it seems to be the case at this point. So why should we condemn the man? That's the American way. That's what should have been said about Kavanaugh, but it wasn't. That's what is not being said now. Half of the party, the Democrats, are saying about Joe Biden, he's got to go. Why? Because they don't want Joe Biden. They want some Marxist in. But I guarantee if Joe Biden would run and he became the nominee, those same people would say, how dare you say these things? There is no truth. One of my favorite lines in the Star Spangled, is it Star Spangled Banner? It's one of those songs. I think it's the Star Spangled Banner. Who more than self their country loved. America the Beautiful, thank you. I love that line. Heroes proved who more than self their country loved. Is there anybody out there that feels that way anymore? Because another thing that's been dismantled is our patriotism. We got to change our traditions. I used to love the 4th of July. 4th of July in my house, to my kids, to my older kids, 4th of July is literally on the same pedestal as Christmas. Because we used to go to 4th of July fireworks and we would really celebrate. And at the end of the day, we'd all end up bawling like little babies when we were watching the fireworks. I don't have that connection anymore. I don't have that connection anymore. Because I don't know who we are anymore. You tell me, did we change our traditions? Is our conversation the same? Do we trust our neighbors? Do we trust people who vote differently than us? Do we give them the benefit of the doubt? Our history. I didn't think it would be changed by people like Ocasio-Cortez, who, honestly, she seems like a very nice girl, but she's dumb as a box of rocks when it comes to the things that she should know. When she's talking about, hey, we got to, you know, look at the way they've changed the Constitution. They changed it so FDR couldn't run for another term. He was dead when they changed it. There's very few, if any, institutions that if you are a history major, 69 out of the 78 schools where you can get a history major, 69 of them do not require any American history. How do you teach history without America? How do you do it? Now, if you're going to just focus on Greek history, that's fine. But if you're a well-rounded history teacher, how do you do it without America? We've changed our history. We've changed our culture. We have changed our traditions. Marriage. Faith. So what should we be concentrating on?
The best of the Glenn Beck program. Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
The communist goals of 1963 that were read into the House records in Congress. But I want to alert you. We found something more frightening than this. It was written by the historian of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union. It was never meant for release. It was found in the 1990s and then just buried. We found it in our research looking for something else. And in 4 weeks, we're going to present it. It is more frightening than this.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it is the playbook on how to do it.
How to accomplish all these goals.
Uh-huh. And how to accomplish it here in America. And if you look at it, it's all being done.
Well, yeah. If you, the 45 goals that were entered in the congressional record, some of them are kind of outdated now because it involves Soviet satellite nations and all of that.
But listen to some of these.
Some of them are just dead on.
Promote the UN is the only hope for mankind.
Yeah,
that's done. Mm-hmm. Resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. Do you remember what happened to the teachers union in California, 2008? Remember we asked, why did they do that? Wait a minute. What did they just do? Do you remember?
Yeah.
They said they had a rule in the schools that you could not be a member of the teachers union if you had ever been a communist or if you had ever advocated for the overthrow of the United States government.
Right.
For some strange reason, they took that out.
Yeah.
Resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. Do away with all loyalty oaths. This one.
Look at 15.
Capture one or both political parties in the United States.
Done. Absolutely done on the Democrat Party. Absolutely done. It's the Marxist political party now.
Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. Mm. Done. Get control of the schools.
Done.
Use them as transmission belts for socialism and get current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations.
Jeez.
Put party line in textbooks. All of that's done. Number 18, gain control of student newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
19, these are the communist goals of 1963, how to destroy America. Use student riots to foment public protest against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Number 20, infiltrate the press. Get control of book review assignments.
You don't think that's happened, do you?
No, just read the book review from the New York Times of Ben Shapiro's new book.
Jeez.
Gain control of editorial writing and policymaking positions. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, motion pictures. Number 22, continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings, substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms.
They have that in every city in America now.
Oh, yeah.
You see some of those, you know, the weird things that they... what do they call that thing in Houston that's just a twisted mess of metal? And there's one in Chicago, too. They do this all over the country.
Here's the interesting thing about this. It also says eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about taking Thomas Jefferson down.
At Hofstra.
Yeah.
Hofstra University. Yeah, because he was not only was he a slave owner, but of course a sexual predator, a sex offender.
Mm. Jeez. Control art critics and directors of art museums. Our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. Eliminate all guns, all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Now, what's interesting is the left got their name as the defenders of free speech because they would defend a cross in urine and call it art.
Yeah.
Now that they have that, they are also on television calling for an end of free speech, political speech.
Interesting.
26, I don't even know if we can even, we'll go to 25. Break down all cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography, obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. All done. 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy.
You almost can't even say that line anymore.
Mm-mm.
That's how much that's been
done,
taken care of.
Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Eliminate prayer or any phase of a religious expression in the schools on the ground. It violates the principle of separation of church and state. discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, and out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. Discredit, number 30, discredit the American founding fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man.
They've gone far past that.
Yeah. Belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the grounds it was only a minor part of the big picture. Give more emphasis to Russian history since communists took over. support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. Eliminate all laws and procedures which interfere with the operation of communists, blah, blah, blah. Discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Done. Infiltrate and gain control of more unions.
Did that a long time ago.
Yeah. Transfer some of the powers of arrest to the police to social agencies. We're doing that now. Mm-hmm. You can come in and take your kids.
Yeah.
They can take your kids. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. Dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communist goals. Replace communist goals with socialist and replace mental health laws. Use mental health laws as means of gaining coercive control over those with guns who oppose our socialist goals. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
Discredit the family as an institution.
Long time ago. That was done. Long time ago.
Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Already done. Attribute prejudiced mental blocks and retarding of children to suppress influence of parents. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition. Think of that one with Antifa. That students and special interest groups should rise up and use united force to solve economic, political, and social problems. Overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-government. Blah, 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 blah. The rest of them are not. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's been done.
Virtually all of it.
It's worse than this. When you see what we're going to reveal... They used it. This was an internal document written by the head of the Soviet history. So he was documenting, he was archiving everything to, you know, that on how we did it. But it was an internal document. And when the wall came down, that document got out. And it shows how they did it. Remember, when World War II ended, the Allies insisted you cannot just roll tanks into any country. You can't do it. You can't start a war. You can't just take it over. Now, if they decide to vote and they decide to go with you, that's another thing. But you just can't roll tanks in. Well, crap. Then how do we do it? And they did it in country after country. And it was a very well thought out plan, step by step, exactly how you take a free market, a free democratic society, and flip them. And it shows the examples. The guy was recording history. Here's how we did it. Here's what happened. It's being done here. It's all being done here.
Wow. And where did you find this, or can you say?
No, one of our researchers, Jason, found it. I'm not sure where he found it, but it's pretty amazing. We're going to do a whole special on it in about 4 weeks because it's pretty extensive and phenomenal.
And it's kind of tied into the 45 goals?
No, it's just, I mean, yes and no. It has the same kind of goals, but that one is, this is just the goals.
Mm-hmm.
This says, here's how you do it.
How do we get to those goals?
How do we get that? Yeah, do we get that done? Thanks, Pat.
Yep.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
it's Glenn, and you're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. If you like what you're hearing on this show, make sure you check out Pat Gray Unleashed. It's available wherever you download your favorite podcasts. I want to spend a few minutes with Ami Horowitz, a good friend of ours and an extraordinary filmmaker. He's done a piece on the intersectionality between the left and the Klan. And he joins us now to set up a little bit of this clip. Ami, welcome.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Always be a pleasure to see you, Glenn. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
So set this clip up. Tell us what this is.
So essentially what we have here is we have this weird convergence I have found with the extreme left. Now, you know what? Actually, not even the extreme left, kind of like the mainstream leftists. And essentially with racist and white supremacists. I know they like to label our president a white supremacist, and that could be further from the truth. But there are quite a bit of similarities, actually, between the left and the KKK, particularly around the way they view black people as segregation. So I went to Columbia, and I asked
the university.
Columbia University, that's exactly right. And I asked white students how they feel about separating black students from white students in graduations, in gyms, and housing, because this has become a new kind of issue at universities, where universities around the country, particularly all the Ivies, have been doing this now for a couple of years. And, of course, they all answered that they had no problem with it whatsoever. Happy to do it, actually.
Okay, so this is a four-minute clip. We're going to play it, and then we'll come back and talk to Ami about what it all means. Here it is.
I'm Ami Horowitz. Colleges are creating separate housing, graduations, and even gyms for black students and other minorities. So I went to Columbia University to find out what students think about this. You support segregated housing for black people?
I think a lot of schools have interest housing where black students can and students of color can live together.
Separate from white people?
Yeah, that's a normal thing at most campuses, I think.
And you guys are cool with that?
Yeah.
It comes from the school saying we're now going to offer black students separate housing.
Yeah, I would support it. I don't see a problem with that.
Okay, I would be supportive of it.
Why not?
Oh, I'm dealing with people like me.
It wouldn't change anything for me because, as you can see, I'm a white person. But if they would be happy,
I couldn't tell. Do you support black students having their own separate graduation?
I'm sure that's what they wanted.
So you'd be okay with that?
Yes.
Separate graduation?
Yeah, I definitely would.
Absolutely. Absolutely, they should have it.
What about kind of black safe spaces?
Yeah, I'm for that. That's fine.
So have your own space where the black people kind of separate from the white people?
Wow.
Just several blocks away from the campus bubble in the local black community, the opinions on this issue were unanimous.
Why? Are you going back in time? Why are you separating? We're all together.
Wait, I don't understand the logic there.
I feel like that's basically segregation. We should all graduate together.
I feel that that's segregation and that shouldn't be happening.
It's obviously terrible to separate people by race.
Discrimination might not be the ultimate goal, but people take it that way.
Do you think it's almost racist to do that?
I would think.
It's all about social skills, and if you can't converse with people who are not of the same skin color as you, then there's no reason for you to be social at all.
Separating people by race at the gym? I don't even understand that. It's
white people don't get their feelings hurt when they get dunked on.
The landmark case of Brown versus Board of Education overturned the legality of racial segregation based on the premise of separate but equal. But did it really? If it's going to be separate, it all has to be equal.
Yeah.
It could be separate, but it's got to be equal, obviously.
Of course, as long as it's equal.
If it's going to be separate, it has to be equal, though, obviously, in terms of what the housing is, the graduation.
Right. That would make the most sense.
These students are not the only people on board with this type of racial segregation.
Hey, I'm Chris Barker. I'm Imperial Wizard for the Loyal White Knights of the Ku Klux Klan.
Chris and his wife have their own safe space here in North Carolina, where he could be away from all those people who engage in microaggressions. But Chris is really a macroaggression kind of guy. Chris was arrested for stabbing another Klan leader over an argument about who was the most racist. There's this thing going on university campuses where they're trying to separate black people from white people in gyms, in graduations, in housing. How do you feel about that?
I think it's a good thing, and I think it's in people's nature. I mean, it's in everybody's nature to be with their own kind. People are tribal. And we want to be amongst our own selves. And I mean, we're still a segregated nation regardless. And it's always going to be that way.
Are you glad that the left has kind of come around to your point of view?
That would be a good thing if the left continues that way.
If it is separated like this, I hope that they continue.
I'm pretty glad that they're doing it too. If they can stay more segregated, maybe the whites can learn their own culture.
I'm kind of happy about it, truthfully. I'm smiling, you know?
I wonder if there's any other interesting things that you agree with college leftists. Like, do you have a safe space? Are you guys emo? Do you listen to Cardi B?
I don't listen to Cardi B. I don't do emo.
Have you seen Black Klansman?
No, I've refused to watch it.
Are you guys familiar with Brown versus Board of Education?
He was watching it with
Do you think that plays into this at all?
I don't know. I have to go study.
While I don't believe in separating the races, separating yourself from your wallet in order to help me make more of these videos might be a good thing. So feel free to donate at AmiHorowitz.com and don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel.
That's a great video.
Ami is amazing. That is a great video.
Thank you.
What's your takeaway from, I mean, I'm watching these Columbia students. What a collection of dopes.
Look, you know, the question is, are they dopes or do they really believe this kind of weird new version of racism?
Look, no, you know what, Ami, hang on just a second. I've had this conversation with my son. He's talking to me about God and he's like, you know, I don't know what I believe and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, good. What are you doing to find out? And if you claim to believe something, you better be able to back it up, especially if you're at a university. You are a self-imposed dope.
Yeah, look, this is not only the only point of contact between the left and the KKK. In fact, I asked also a similar set of questions about they feel that Jews control the U.S. government with their money, and most, if not all, said yes. Of course, we believe that, and so did the KKK. So this is not the only place of agreement. But look, this is so dangerous. And never mind the fact that it reawakens the evils of segregation. Put that aside for a moment. But it reinforces identity politics in the absolute worst way, and it really amplifies these racial differences. You know, I at Harvard was asked about this. What's the reasoning behind separating and segregating black students during their graduations? And they said that essentially they want something special for their students that feel marginalized. I'm thinking to myself, where on planet Earth does a black person feel less marginalized than a university campus? But if marginalization was the standard we're going by, then the only group that has their own graduation should be conservatives. Now the only people who are truly marginalized on campuses. Really, it's unbelievable to me.
So, you know, the problem here is that they are, because I watch them and I listen and I'm trying to figure out, what are they feeling? What is driving this? And it's not like the Klan, he is driven by hate. They are driven to the same exact racist conclusion, but they have cloaked it in love. They've cloaked it in, you know what? Hey, whatever anybody else wants to do, if that's what they want to do, then that's what they should do. Who am I to say? I love them. I want to make sure that they're taken care of. And so you have this smothering of people and a cloaking of very racist things, all with understanding, peace, harmony, love, forgiveness, compassion. And I think it's why they don't see it.
Yeah, no, I look, you're absolutely right. Of course, they're both coming from different places in terms of motivation. But ultimately, they're both looking at black people as less than, right? You can't do on your own. You can't find, you know, I did a video about voter ID a couple of years ago, which kind of blew up. And it was essentially the same. I've done a number of these videos are kind of, you know, race-based, where they show the same thing, this condescension, this patronizing attitude that they look at black people and say, look, you need me to watch after you. You need me to make sure you can have your own environment in your own graduation, in your own gym. You need me to make sure that I can get you what you need, your ID, because you can't get your ID by yourself. So we got to make sure you don't have to show ID to vote. All of these attitudes, yes, they're obviously different in terms of the motivation, but the end result is the same. And for a person who's black, that's kind of the only way I'd be looking at it. And, you know, the other major thing I think, and it's important to point out, is that there is a major – so when I ask college kids, I ask Columbia college kids who are black how they feel about this, and it was a very mixed result. Now, when I went to a couple blocks off campus to ask the black community there, they were unanimous, absolutely unanimous. This was absolutely wrong and beyond the pale. But the thing is, there seems to be a massive chasm between black leadership, whether it be political leadership in the House, the Senate, or in the presidency, or among social activists, community leaders. They are far more radical than the black community in general, which I've always thought is why there's a major opportunity for Republicans and the right to say, guys, that's not your home. These people, I know you think they're looking out for your best interest, but they're true. They have this real, again, condescension towards you that we don't have in our party. I think there's a real opportunity there.
Well, it's quite honestly why I think many Republicans don't reach out to the black community, the Hispanic community or whatever, because we don't think that way. We're just like, hey, this is working, and what do you think? And come, and I don't go talk to organizations. I talk to people. And that's kind of thrown us. At the same time, the Democrats, it's always floored me that the guy who was stood against the Civil Rights Act and the Civil Rights Movement, Lyndon Johnson, suddenly 5 years later signs in the Civil Rights Act. And I'm sorry, but I just don't believe change of heart. And I also don't believe, well, this is a strategic plan to be able to win the next election and blah, blah, blah. I really believe that there were people that were involved in that understood, well, look, these people can't take care of themselves. We'll take care of them. We'll make sure that they stay in their place. And that's what they've created. And you're seeing it now. This is the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You're seeing now the fruit of that from the 1960s where, you know what, we're just going to love and take care because they're just so weak and powerless. And we're just going to make sure that all these victims are taken care of by us. You're seeing the fruit of that right now. This is the best example of the road to hell is paved with good intentions I think I've ever seen.
No, I agree. And that's why I keep saying we have an historic opportunity here. You know, look, I've done a number of these videos. You know, one video that kind of strikes me. Ultimately, the left doesn't have any idea how the black African-American rank and file feels about particular issues, whether it be immigration or abortion or whatever it happens to be. And I think that's where we have our opportunity. I remember I did a video once about when Black Lives Matter was kind of blowing up. And I went to Brooklyn. I interviewed a bunch of, again, these white leftists. I said, how do you think, black people in the Bronx and in Harlem feel about the NYPD? Oh, my God, they hate them. They're so racist against these black people. There's rage on the streets. So then I went to, East Harlem, and I had a T-shirt saying "Cops Lives Matter." You know, how provocative could that be? You know, what kind of rage am I could provoke this T-shirt? And then I went there, and every single person went up to me and said, "Oh my God, of course cops lives matter." And start telling these wonderful stories about how the police helped them in a particular situation. There is such a massive disconnect between how the left views black people and views what they think black people want versus the reality on the ground. And I can't stress enough, you know, these videos highlight that difference, and we cannot lose this opportunity to make sure they realize that what's best for their community is not the left, which tells them what to think and what to do, but the right, which gives them the freedom to do what they want.
Ami Horowitz, you can follow him at AmiHorowitz.com. You can also donate so he can continue to make these fantastic videos. AmiHorowitz.com, A-M-I, AmiHorowitz.com.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Rob Eno, and he is He writes a WTF newsletter every day for The Blaze. And really is, it's one of those things where you're reading and you're like, wow, what is happening? Welcome. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I love doing it. WTFMSM. Can sign up by going to my Twitter page at Robino. It's the first link at the top pinned up. So
we
easiest way to get it.
We were just talking about why do we feed ourselves this crap about the media when nobody's watching it. Why are we feeding ourselves this?
I mean, I think enough people are watching that it drives discussion, but I think you're right. I mean, the people in you know, the Washington corridor and up, you know, in the Northeast all follow Twitter and they think that everything's happening. But you have to ask a normal American, hey, did you see that story? They're like, what?
What? No.
Huh? Yeah. How does that affect me getting my groceries and the chicken cost me $4.95 a pound now?
Right.
You know, or something like that. If that's, you know, that's not what the price of chicken is, but that sort of thing. And I think that, but I think it's important to point out what they're doing because they're not misreporting news on, you know, because they're misreporting news because they make a mistake. They're misreporting and framing news because they want you to think a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
They want to drive a narrative. I mean, mm-hmm. Brian Stelter over at CNN, I know he's nobody's favorite person, but Brian Stelter over at CNN this weekend, you know, talked about the Mueller report and how the narrative on it was shifting. And he actually used the word that we use to like say this is what they're trying to do. And he used the word to openly show that that's what they were trying to do with the Mueller report that found no collusion, did not find enough evidence for obstruction of justice because, you know, as some of my colleagues and our colleague Mark Levin likes to say, you can't obstruct justice if you're the president of the United States because under Article 2, you run the Justice Department. And if you want to stop an investigation, you can stop an investigation. And the way to do that is to make that person not elected again. I mean, that's there's the whole notion by those people that think the government is something other than the people we elect. They think that the government is this big, never-changing thing that doesn't need somebody to be elected to run it, and that person's just a titular head. He's not somebody that can actually do something. And when he tries to do something, they find another way, mainly through the media, to stop him from doing it. And, you know, that's on a lot of ways it's on both sides, but, you know, they never really went after Obama when he was doing some of the stuff. And I would say that he went a little bit further than Trump has in a lot of areas.
In a lot of areas.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you about Joe Biden. And what do you think is going to happen to Joe Biden? Do you think he's going to run? Do you think?
Oh, I think he's going to run. I think that there, you know, you see it in the New York Times. You see headlines like his affectionate, you know, it was affectionate what he did. And, and in Mondays, I'm like, Monday was fun because it was April Fool's Day. And I'm like, my subject line at the email was Brian Stelter is a great guy and never gets anything wrong. And then I said, these are not April Fool's jokes, except for this, because every day in the media, our congressional correspondent, Nate Madden, tweeted out, you know, this is the thing about April Fool's Day. It's the one day that people actually critically check articles that they see because they want to see if they're real. But they do this stuff every day.
Right.
And the Joe Biden thing is nothing different. You know, there are congressmen and senators that I know that were unhappy with Joe Biden during a swearing in because of the way that they, you know,
the way he handled himself
or handled others. Women. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we've been talking about this for how long, Glenn?
Oh, forever.
On the right? I mean, on the center right. We've been talking about Joe Biden doing this forever.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlantic talked about him doing it. For God's sakes, the Daily Show had like the audacity of the grope or something like that. They had an actual thing that they did it. And Samantha Bee comes out on The Daily Show all disheveled and said, oh, I was just interviewing Joe Biden. I mean, these are things that people have known about.
It's not as bad as Weinstein by any stretch of the imagination. But it is that everybody knows it and nobody talks about it. Nobody says anything unless you're joking. Remember, Weinstein, how many jokes did we find Hollywood making about, you know, doing those kinds of things? They knew, but he had power, and so they decided not to do anything about it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And then, you know, there's other stuff with Joe Biden. It was in, I think it was in the Washington Examiner today. I don't know if you've seen this yet, and it's, actually, it was John Solomon. There's a guy that, during the entire Mueller investigation, the people at the Hill, the quote-unquote reporters, were upset that John Solomon had a byline. John Solomon is a right-of-center media guy. He runs the Hill TV division, and they let him write. And he was the one that came out with all of these all of these scoops about what was really going on in the Mueller investigation, and they weren't finding collusion, but it was actually Hillary Clinton that was funding Fusion GPS. Mm-hmm. He was one of the guys that was coming out with a lot of these scoops. The people at the Hill that were on the reporter side got upset and made them put an opinion byline on John Solomon's stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, today John Solomon came out with, and I believe it was John Solomon, came out with unearthed video of Joe Biden joking to a foreign policy conference that he got basically the attorney general of Ukraine fired because the guy was looking into his son's company that his son was on the board of. And Joe Biden told this audience, and it wasn't a joke, that he told the president of Ukraine that you're not getting your $1 billion in foreign aid if this guy's still the attorney general. Where's the mainstream media on that? I mean, that's a pretty big story.
That's huge. This goes to something that, was it Schweitzer that talked to us just this last week? He's, you know, he has a book out, just came out in paperback, about the most corrupt politicians. And he says Joe Biden is the most corrupt we've had in our lifetime, and one of the most corrupt in all of American history because of what's going on with his son. And you don't hear anything. And it's it's really damning when you see that.
Right. And they protect it. And they, you know, they say that, you know, Donald Trump continuing a business dealing because he doesn't know if he's going to win to try and, you know, expand his real estate empire, you know, is something that should be looked at because it's nefarious, or that people happen to want to stay at the Trump Hotel when they go to D.C. because it's close to White House, and it's a nice place and you want to stay there, that foreign government staying there breaks the emoluments clause. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I have a feeling that, you know, George Washington sold cotton to people in Britain that were probably lords and sat in the House of Lords or the House of Commons back when he had a, you know, plantation in Virginia. I'm pretty sure that was part of trade, that, like, when he became president, his whole plantation didn't just stop running. You know what I mean? But if you tell people that, it was a different time, I mean, that's not what it really means. But that is what it means. It means, did you get a direct payment to do something for the United States government from a foreign entity? That's what the emoluments clause is. It's not, did you happen to do business? I mean, did Harry Truman never fit somebody in Kansas City for a suit that might have worked for a foreign government? You know what I mean? It's just... It's stupidity when you think of stuff like that.
And they don't cover this Biden thing, which is really incredible. I mean, first of all, you point out, it's not an opinion piece at all. It's a news article. it is written under an opinion byline, but going through, I mean, the quote is pretty damaging.
Read the quote.
This is Biden again talking about getting this guy fired. He says, "I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was about 6 hours. "I looked at them and I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor is not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch, he got fired. And they put someone in place who was solid at the time." And then the opinion article reveals that, Hunter Biden was working for the company that was being investigated by this prosecutor at the time.
And can we verify that he was indeed fired at the time that Biden was there?
I mean... Biden verifies it, right? Is it possible Biden's lying? Of course.
Maybe
he's never even heard of Ukraine. I mean, with Biden, who knows? But I mean, that's about as clear as it can. We'll look more into this. This is pretty amazing.
So the other point that I tried to make today was by focusing on the media as much as we do, we accept this narrative that we're pretty powerless, that we don't have a very strong voice. We have a stronger voice now than we've ever had. And yes, we're on the ropes, and yes, there are bad things happening, and yes. But talk a little bit about the power of the right now and the power of the media that we do have.
No, and I think, you know, here at The Blaze, here... when it was Conservative Review before the merger, with the Daily Caller, News Foundation, we're looking into things. They may not believe us. The left may say, that's not real reporting. But we have multiple voices because it's the democratization of information. That's what the internet makes possible. And that's why it's so scary when you see people like Oliver Darcy, like Brian Stelter, like all of these people who sit there and say, well, we need to shut those voices down. We need to shut the Alex Joneses of the world down. We need to shut the Laura Loomers of the world down, who may be a little bit off-center in a little way, but Laura Loomer did real investigative work. You know, when they say that we need to shut those voices down, and then when you see the guy that owns Facebook or runs Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, come out and say, we want government, I mean, the government should be more in control of the internet. Mm. I mean, that's like in the Soviet Union, the government should be more in control of fax machines, which mm-hmm. is one of the technologies that helped liberate the Soviet Union mm-hmm. because people would fax each other, dissidents would fax each other stuff because they couldn't find a way to stop the faxes from going through. Because it wasn't digital, it was analog.
It is, it's remarkable, and it's on my board of things to watch, the marrying of tech and the government. It's inevitable that that's coming, and I think that's why the left has been saying, you know what, we think we're going to break you guys up. They are saying, you're toast, unless there's something you can do for us.
You're absolutely right. No, it's tech, media. I mean, Facebook's going to have its own news column now that'll be different from the news feed. It's like the watch pages that we have some things on here at Blaze TV. But they're going to have a news thing. And how do you get into that news thing? Will we be able to get into that news feed?
Mm-hmm.
Or will it only be, you know, the appropriate people that are able mm-hmm. to get into that news feed?
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, well, only 20% of people are going to watch it and your other news feed is still going to happen. It's almost like the left is afraid that people have the idea to think for themselves.
Well, they,
or have
they
the
are,
ability. Yeah.
Because they don't believe people are smart enough to figure things out.
You're absolutely right. It's like, remember Dianne Feinstein back in the early 2000s when she wanted to basically have government-sanctioned reporters? Like, bloggers weren't real reporters. You know, when I was doing my local Massachusetts place blog, Red Mass Group, where we uncovered stuff that the government was doing and got mm-hmm. profiled in some of the Boston newspapers, and we mm-hmm. shared the work with some of the Boston newspapers. That wasn't real reporting, guys. That was just, you know, some crank. And you're not a real reporter. You should have to be. Should have to have a government sanction to be protected.
Ted Koppel told me that. Ted Koppel said, "Glenn, we've got to do something have the government give license out for people who are journalists." And I was like, "Ted Koppel? Are you crazy? Are you crazy? That is the worst idea I've ever heard."
They've been gatekeepers
for so long.
They've been gatekeepers. They're the ones that get to drive the narrative. Even people like Walter Cronkite, you know, all of these guys, for so long, there was one place you could get your news. They were gatekeepers, and they get upset when they can't be gatekeepers anymore, which brings us back to John Solomon.
So this is a great digest that you can get every day. How do you sign up for it?
Right now, the easiest way to do it is to go to my Twitter page, at Robino, R-O-B-E-N-O. Click the top link. It'll bring you to the WTFMSM sign-up form. And you get in. We send it out three times a week. We'll probably be going daily shortly.
Good.
But comes out three times a week. Thanks for having me.
Really good. Really good. Thank you so much.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.